Morning, church family. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Would you join me in this prayer before we get into the message? Father, there truly is no one like you. You are holy, and you are good, and you are gracious. And as we've shared together this morning, you are faithful. So God, I just pray that you would meet us where we are, and that we would have the courage and the faith to bring all that we are feeling and all that we are and just rest in your embrace this morning. May you truly speak to us your words of life and hope and love. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. So today we continue our series, Become, and it's focusing on our discipleship values that provide a specific pathway for us as we together head toward Jesus and becoming more and more like Jesus. And the discipleship values are also helping us answer the question, how do we live out our vision of be loved and belong and become? So a few weeks ago, we started with live dependent. Maybe you can see our poster on the far end. Live dependent is pursuing a daily relationship with our triune God. And then last week, we talked about live surrendered. And this is eagerly pursuing and giving ourselves over to the will of God above our own. Okay, and then today, we're going to talk about live prophetic. Now, I just want to pause for a second and say that for many of us, when we hear the word prophecy or prophetic, our minds immediately go to the Old Testament prophets. And we think about the messages that the prophets had for the people of God then. I just want to give you one example of many that I could give you this morning. It comes from Jeremiah chapter 2. Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty. So oftentimes, where does our mind go? It goes to this doom and gloom, this judgment message and call of repentance for the people of God through the prophets. And so when we hear prophecy or prophetic, that's often where we go, this negative connotation. However, living prophetic, I need you to know this morning, goes before and beyond the message of the prophets. God spoke prophetically in the beginning, right? And we'll remind ourselves of that in just a moment. And God speaks prophetically today to us, his people, through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so let's consider this morning, would you take this journey with me and consider with me a deeper and a wider view of prophetic. Live prophetic is living out the way of Jesus, eagerly proclaiming the gospel, and it's also reflecting the character and the values of God as revealed through Jesus. And so this is the word. This is the word made active and living in us and then through us to the world. Simply put, and I love this, Jesus is alive in me. Would you repeat that with me this morning? Jesus is alive in me. He is. Jesus is alive in us. And as we consider this broader view of the prophetic word of God this morning, let's remember and understand the movements of the word. Okay, so let's remember and let's understand the movements of the word. And let's start at the beginning. In the beginning, the word of God was spoken. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And so God spoke an authoritative word, and all things came into existence. And as creation came into being, God spoke words to the first human. He said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And God did. God spoke, and it was. And human history continued on, and God spoke his word, his will to humanity throughout the ages. For example, God appeared and he spoke to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, and he told Abram, to your offspring I will give this land. And so Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And at the time of the kings, God spoke. He spoke to Samuel, and he said to Samuel, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they are rejecting. They're rejecting me as their king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And then to the kings, as they came one by one, the kings of Israel, God continued to speak to his leaders and to his people. For example, to King David, through the prophet Nathan, he declared, I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. God is speaking to David, and he's repositioning his covenant that he had made with Abram. Now he's redeclaring it and reconfirming it to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Throughout the history of Israel, God spoke to and through his people. After the kings, in the time of the kings, we have the prophets. There were messages of judgment and calls for repentance and warnings of exile. However, there were also declarations of great hope and restoration of a new covenant through the Messiah, the anointed one who would come. For example, through his prophet Malachi, the Lord announced, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. And the Messiah did come, did he not? And the messianic messenger came who announced Jesus. John the Baptist announced that the Lamb of God had come. He had arrived at the waters of the Jordan, ready to obey the will of his Father. And after John the Baptist had baptized Jesus, what happened? God spoke. In Luke chapter 3, the voice of God declares from the heavens over his son, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And so this is a very high level overview to emphasize this point, church. Listen, our faith is rooted in our God who has spoken and continues to speak. And the next movement of God's word is redemptive. It's the incarnate word becoming flesh and blood. Jesus, the Son of God, puts on flesh and he walks among us. I love how the Message translation, it puts forth the true essence of this verse. Listen to John 1 verse 14. The word, Jesus, the word became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood. Don't you love that? Jesus comes to us in flesh and blood. He comes to our neighborhood. And so in Jesus Christ, we experience all who God is embedded in human form. And in addition to Jesus' compassionate actions, him coming and setting an example for us, when Jesus did come, he adopted the way of the prophets who stood up and spoke for God. Jesus gets in line with the prophets. And he stands before a hometown church crowd in Nazareth, right? And he opens up the scroll of Isaiah and he quotes from Isaiah 61. He tells the home crowd, church, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, eagerly lived out the way of God, yes, but he also proclaimed the way of God. The kingdom of God was near for anyone who was willing to receive it. And then it was only after Jesus' life and his ministry and his death and his resurrection and his exaltation that then the word took on a written form. Holy Scripture became necessary as the church was born and experiencing persecution and after persecution growth, believe it or not. And so the sacred writings of the Hebrew people and the authors of the New Testament, the sacred writings that you hold in your hands this morning, is indeed a blessing. And they are holy, and they are true, and they are our guiding light as God's people to live out the eternal story of God. But please remember, church, remember, we hold this as a reminder of God's word in written form, but we must not forget that God's word is spoken and it is also incarnate. And in all these ways, the word of God is not only written, but also spoken and incarnate, and it is forming us. And it is shaping us and creating our lives and intersecting them with the will of God. So, what about us today? I want us to take this value and line it up next to our lives and ask the question, what does live prophetic practically look like in our lives? I would suggest that most of our prophetic ministry is lived out. And I would say it like this, that we prefer it that way. It's more comfortable, it's easier to be an example, and it is important that we're an example of God's character and values in our own lives, that we live out, that we're a servant, that we're reflecting the way of God in our lives. And so this is generally seen in the way we live compassionate and the way we live connected, which just happened to be the next 2 weeks of sermons. So come back next week as we talk about live compassionate, and the week after that, live connected. But let me say this morning. Oftentimes, as disciples, we are more comfortable showing others, right? We're more comfortable showing others our Christ-likeness than speaking his good news to others. When we talk about being a witness or proclaiming or declaring our faith unashamedly to those around us, some of us get a little bit more constrained. We get a little bit more anxious or nervous about that. And how can I do that? And do it effectively, but also do it in a way that I'm not better than you type of way, right? I don't want to be condescending. I don't want to be judgmental. And so we think about these things as we think about proclaiming or declaring the good news of Jesus. But as a beginning point for motivation, let us remember that Jesus did both, right? He left us an example to follow. In deed and in word. And since the beginning of time, the word has been spoken, speaking things into existence, spoken words of comfort, spoken words of truth, spoken words of comfort, words of empowerment and love and correction and hope. And so as the people of God, church at Alta Mesa, listen to me, there is a significant spoken element to our prophetic ministry. And we must not shy away from it. We must step into those places and be witnesses. We must live prophetically for God. And it's not a doom and gloom message as we think about prophetic ministry. It's not about predicting the future. As disciples, we are ambassadors and we are proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus. And so a significant part of our discipleship journey is this. We bring words of life. We bring with us words of hope and love. So let me offer this example from Scripture. On the heels of a beautiful chapter that many of us are familiar with. It emphasizes the imperative nature of agape love, unconditional love. We find a practical framework for prophetic ministry on the heels of this chapter. So the chapter I'm talking about is 1 Corinthians 13. And in the first 8 verses, we get this beautiful layout of the essential nature of unconditional love, that all we do must be saturated in love. It's the foundation of all we do, period. But as that chapter and as that section is concluding, the apostle transitions to a new subject with this instruction. Listen to how he transitions. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And again, when we hear that word, when we read especially prophecy, most of our minds, because of previous teachings and previous interpretations that we've brought in, our minds automatically go to, oh, prophecy, right. That faded away when Scripture was formalized with the Bible. Or we might think, oh, prophecy, that's something that used to happen when prophets predicted the future of God's coming Messiah and the coming kingdom. And so we minimize prophecy or prophetic ministry to the things I just said, and we move on. But consider with me this morning that we might have a limited perspective of prophetic ministry if that's all we think about. So before you close me off or go, oh, what is he about to do? Listen closely. Pay attention. I want to submit something to you for your consideration. Do your best to receive it and truly consider it for yourself as a disciple of Jesus. Listen closely to what the apostle writes next. 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them because they utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, I want to read that last part one more time and you let it soak in. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And so as disciples, Christ, the living Word, lives in us more and more as we seek His face. And as Jesus is alive in us, we are lights to the world and we are proclaimers of the good news of Jesus. And so Paul tells the Christians in Corinth, a part of their prophetic ministry was to acknowledge those who needed what? The three things: strengthening and encouragement and comfort. And then he tells them, boldly step into those places and be prophetic to the people of God. Bring a word that is wise. Bring a word that is hopeful. Bring a word that is life-giving. Because church, listen to me, when we announce the good news of Jesus, when we announce that He is risen, that is words of strength and encouragement and comfort. Amen? That the Savior is risen. That in the midst of our deep-rooted and carried grief, as disciples, in those moments where we're able to step back and see the bigger picture, we go, thank you, Jesus, that you're alive and that in you we have great hope. And hear me right, that doesn't minimize our grief or take it away. It just provides a little bit of hope in the midst of it, right? So when we announce that Jesus is Lord, that He's risen, that we have hope in Him, that is the very Word of God, a carrier or an agent of God's Spirit. And I don't know, maybe that's what Isaiah had in mind when he predicted that Jesus would come and preach good news. that he would release the captives, that he would set the prisoners free. Maybe that's what he had in mind. And maybe that's what Jesus had in mind when he declared that you and I are the light of the world. He didn't suggest it. He was prophetic and he said, my people are the light of the world. You are a light. I am a light. Why? Because Jesus is alive in us. And that is significant. And so we proclaim words of new life from God's dimension that then brings new creation within ours. You following that statement? In our prophetic ministry as disciples of Jesus, we bring words from God's dimension into ours, and it brings new creation. The youth group version of this discipleship value, it highlights the point that I'm trying to make here. Live prophetic means that I recognize, that I acknowledge that I am God's clay. That I posture myself with God, going back to live dependent. That I posture myself with God in such a way that he can then use me and shape me and mold me for his glory through my actions and my words. And so what does this require of me? Well, it requires me to listen to God's call on my life. It requires me to discern in the moment sometimes, to discern what would be a wise word of strength and encouragement and comfort in this moment. And then as I discern that in my mind and heart, then I step boldly into that space and I respond with action. And I'm faithful to that call on my life. For example, when we make pastoral visits, sometimes the wise thing to do is to say nothing in that moment and your presence speaks powerfully enough. But then other times you step into those spaces and you hear something or you respond to something and you discern in that moment what would be wise, what would be helpful, what would be encouraging, what would bring life into this moment. And the same goes as a church family right now. You guys, listen, you guys are such a beautiful and loving church family. And you're loving each other well. And I just encourage you in that, in the name of the Lord. Encourage you to continue doing that. Check in on one another. Encourage one another. Hold each other up. Give each other words of strength and encouragement and comfort. You know what I just described to you? Our church is heavily living prophetically right now. We are being prophetic to one another, reminding one another that Jesus is Lord. That though our grief is heavy, hope is not lost. That we serve a risen Savior. When we visit people at the hospital, we already know going into that situation someone is suffering or ill or recovering, right? And so we walk into that situation knowing I need to be wise. I need to speak words that would be helpful, not hurtful. I need to bring words of hope and life into this moment. And so we listen to God's call in that moment. We discern in our minds and hearts what would be wise, what would be helpful, and then we step boldly into that space and respond with action. It was a tough Sunday morning. I don't recall all the details, but I'll tell you that I remember I was tired, I was stressed, and I was hungry. Now, if you're anything like me, you know that's a recipe for disaster. Anybody with me on that? Yeah. So I was doing my best this particular Sunday morning to just kind of muster up all the strength that I could, because it was in between class and just before worship. I was out in the gathering room and I was doing my best. I was smiling and I wasn't asking people how they were doing because frankly, I didn't really care in that moment. And so, just being honest. So instead, I did what Stephen asked us to do at the beginning. I just said, I'm really glad you're here, and I did mean that. So I was smiling. Good morning. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. You know, I was doing my best to try to work through this, whatever that was. And Janice and her friends were walking through the gathering room, and she sees me. She looks in my eyes. She acknowledges my pain. And she stopped. And she said something to their friends. They kept going, and she came to me. She said, "Micah, how are you doing this morning?" And I knew right when she asked me, I couldn't lie to Miss Janice because she wouldn't have any of it. So I said, "Miss Janice, I'm just really stressed and tired this morning." And she looked at me and smiled that big smile. And she first said, she knew my language. She said, "Well, first of all, you look really sharp this morning." "Thank you." And she said, "I'm just going to ask the Lord right now to give you strength to bring us a good word this morning." And she grabbed my arm and she smiled and she said, "You got this." And she kept going. And I later told Miss Janice, the last time I saw her, I said, "You're the one that gave me a good word that morning." What was she doing for me in that moment? She was living prophetic. She acknowledged me. She saw me. She saw me where I was, and she acknowledged it, and she stopped, and she listened, and then she stepped into that space, and she said something that was words of strength and encouragement and comfort. She was living prophetic. So don't make it any more complicated than that. Start there, because you bring words of life and hope and love. Let me pray for us. Father, we admit that we're not great at this all the time. We are weak, we are frail. Oftentimes, God, we're selfish. So God, we ask for your help to overcome ourselves, to lay ourselves down, and to look out for the needs and interests of others. God, give us words of life and hope and love. God, give us eyes to see and to acknowledge the people around us. And then God, give us the faith to step into those places and bring these words, words of life, words of hope, words of love. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that's been spoken. We thank you for the word, Jesus Christ incarnate. And we thank you for the written word that is a light unto our feet. As we walk this path toward Jesus, we thank you, God, for your word. Now, God, as we leave here, would you give us words that we build our life around those words and that we walk boldly into these places, living prophetically for you, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.